I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
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 Galileo, Galileo,
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave, who is okay, by the way, with Joseph J., Trisha, Eric, and the lovely Kathleen. This is not Queen. Or
this is
Queen?
Not.
No, this is Panic at the Disco.
Okay.
Go, 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 Bohemian Rhapsody. Mamma Mia.
But in the trailer, the movie trailer, it's really Queen.
Right, but in the movie, it's Panic at the Disco.
Oh.
For me. Watch.
Oh, boy.
What the heck? Okay. The glass just broke.
No auto-tune on that one.
All right. Well, let's bring on our guest in case he decides to leave.
He's probably tired of listening.
Former LAPD officer and CIA officer, current security specialist, Henderson Cooper. Coop, how you doing this morning? Coop, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic, fantastic. So, of course, you heard our reviews of Suicide Squad, right?
I have.
Yeah. And so have you seen the movie?
I couldn't get tickets last night. I have tickets for today.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, it's very, very popular. And, of course, but you have some knowledge. Do you have experience with putting bad guys undercover as good guys?
Well, yeah, actually, during my LAPD career as an officer and detective, I've had experience with that, and going undercover myself, I've had experience with that, and then working for the U.S. government, some experience with people that are called assets being undercover.
Wow.
And hi, Coop, this is Dave Isaac. How does that work, or if you're allowed to say, I mean, are there contracts written up, our attorneys
deals.
Involved.
Yeah, it's like in the movie, they're given a chance to get 10 years off their sentence, or if they don't cooperate, they die.
Or is it just a verbal type of situation, or not even verbal, hey, you're going to do this. I mean, how does that work behind the scenes?
Well, it's obviously a different world than the movie world. It's probably not as exciting as the movie world. But the way it works, essentially, is that, there can be contracts. There can be actual documents written up that establish an agreement between the two parties with protocols and expectations met, deliverables that are needed for the person to get paid and to get whatever consideration was included in the deal. So yeah, there can be a document, an agreement, or a contract.
So, but what's the hierarchy, or what takes precedence over the other? A judge sentence versus redoing the sentence and having a new agreement. I mean, is there one that is higher level than the other?
Well, none of these things happen domestically here with informants that doesn't begin with an approval from a district attorney, a state attorney, a judge. It begins there. The law enforcement doesn't have the authority to give someone any kind of special deal where the courts are concerned, but the courts make their deals.
Yeah, so it has to go through justice first, right?
Exactly, exactly.
But what kind of a risk have you found in employing this? Because, I'm going to go on a global scale here. A lot of people say that the U.S., by funding rebellion against Russia in Afghanistan, actually created al-Qaeda. So, I mean, on a smaller scale, what is the risk of something like that happening by taking quote unquote bad guys and rewarding them for assistance?
Well, you have to be clear about one thing. There are some places you simply can't get to unless you are a bad guy.
Oh,
you can't send a guy wearing a bow tie and a suit from Brooks Brothers and have him join a terrorist group or have him infiltrate the mafia or some other kind of organization. You're going to have to go to the source, and the source are the bad guys or people who are closely associated with the bad guys. And when you deal with them, you know you're dealing with the devil. You don't. There are no guarantees. These people don't swear allegiance to a country. They don't promise to always tell the truth. They don't swear even that they're not going to commit a crime. You can tell them that while you're working for them, you don't want them to commit a crime, but they are bad guys, and you get what you deal with.
And like, do they go through some kind of a vetting process? Like in the movie, as you'll see later, they had something that if something happened to the leader that was supposedly a good guy, if something happened to that leader and he were to die, they would all automatically be killed. They would die. And yeah. So that was the only reason they had any allegiance to him initially in the movie. And so do you guys go through a vetting process or how do you, I mean, you always got to watch your six, right?
Yes, you do. And that's true in public life and in the operational world. But yeah, there is a vetting process. I mean, anyone who is picked as an informant or an asset has to be vetted. There has to be a considerable amount of investigation done into their background, their history, their current life and lifestyle. There are processes that are undergone before you ever operate with them. And then once you begin to operate with them, you do watch them very, very closely. They're not simply sent out the door and told to go out and find the truth and bring back the truth to the good guys. There's a process by which you have to get these people to a point where you can somewhat trust them and understand, I mean somewhat, because you simply can't completely trust someone who is not sworn, not promised, not official, not paid, isn't owned, or someone that is completely under your control.
Now, Coop, based on your experience, and maybe the experience of others, what percentage of the time do these bad guys come through for you? And as compared to when they completely turn and they say, no, we're not going to do it, we're going to join the other bad guys, or just sort of flee the scene?
You know, I doubt that there's any kind of hard data that would answer that question, honestly. I would say that 100% of the time, you might get 50% of what you expect out of assets and informants. Mm. Because you can give them a task, and they might complete a portion of the task, and you simply have to go with that. Sometimes it's too dangerous, sometimes it's too complicated, sometimes they lose the opportunities. So there are so many variables that come in that you can't simply expect 100% results from these people.
Now, I want to remind our listeners, we are speaking with Henderson Cooper, a.k.a. Coop. He's a former LAPD officer, former CIA officer. He's currently a security specialist. And, you know, so Coop, tell us, are there, how does one know if a bad guy could pull this off? I mean, is there certain people that you just say, no, absolutely not? I mean, what kind of rules would you say are in place?
Yeah, there absolutely are certain people that you simply can't trust. That vetting process is what we're talking about. Initially, the vetting process is done somewhat remotely. I mean, you might spend some time negotiating with the person, socializing with the person, investigating the person, getting some kind of knowledge of who you're dealing with and what you're dealing with and what your options are. There may be some issues of leverage that are to your benefit, like they have some legal case pending against them, or they have some embarrassing circumstance that they wouldn't want getting to be out, or they have some financial difficulty, or maybe there's some health issues in the family that you could help address. So you're looking for leverage items that you can maintain during your relationship with that person before you get to working with them. And then you continue those things as leverage during the process of working with them.
Okay, excellent. Now, using a Hollywood term, because I'm not sure whether this is a true term in the industry, but as a handler of one of these people, I'm assuming it's very much a need to know, because you run the risk of them becoming kind of a double operative, right, where they're working for both sides, trying to get what they can from both sides. So you can't really give them too much information as to why you want it. Is that correct?
That's essentially correct. The reality is they're already working for the other side, and that's why you've got them. So they already are, in essence, a double agent in many cases. I mean, sometimes you might find one who's kind of a hang-around type, or just a relative or friend who's closely associated, but more than likely you're dealing with the real McCoy with one of these people. So they're already in with the other group, and so you have to find some way to manage them. And it's essential, it's a key element in this whole process, management of that individual, so that you're in somewhat control over what they do and what they do not do. I mean, you don't want to be operating with somebody who's going out and killing people. You don't want to operate with somebody who is going out and actually robbing banks, let's say, or kidnapping people or raping women. So you're going to have some kind of control over that person, so to ensure that you aren't associated with crimes that they commit or terrorist acts or negative acts that they commit.
So what type of categories are there? What comes to mind is like a hacker, a bad hacker could probably be valuable to you. But what are other categories you look for, from probably nonviolent to people that are, you know, have done some pretty violent things? So can you describe that a little bit?
Well, I mean, typically you're talking about people who get engaged with other people to commit crimes or acts. So you're not going to be dealing with an informant who is an independent contractor necessarily, who just does things on their own, works independently, not necessarily contractor, but works independently on their own. You're going to be dealing with somebody who works with other players, and so that person has to be connected to something of interest to you, like, as you say, a hacker. A hacker that works alone is not going to be an informant for you necessarily. But a hacker who works with a group would possibly be an informant for you. Or a terrorist who is engaged or involved with a terrorist cell is going to work with you. But what they call a rogue player is certainly not going to be working for you, unless you get that person to turn before they commit an act and they're going to go out, join a group, and then be cultivated into a situation where they can get information from other players who are going to be doing bad acts.
Now, you bring up terrorists just, you know, in the last conversation. What, the world today, how do you or can you prevent these attacks that have seem to be going on weekly now, mainly out of the country, however, there's some in the country. What can you do to prevent that, let's say, within America? Let's start there. I mean, because it's probably coming, right?
Well, you know, it certainly is expected that terrorist acts can happen here. You're dealing with the known and the unknown. With the known, there is some opportunity for you to act. If you know about a group, if you know about an individual, you can start investigating them, surveilling them, watching them, maybe even getting someone in a relationship with them, as we're speaking of right now, informants or assets. What you can't deal with, what you can't predict, is the unknown, the people who are out there acting independently, who are being cultivated and developed by other players that you don't know about, and they may act independently, a rogue. Those people are going to be hard to stop beforehand, unless there are some indicators, some keys, something that rises to the level of attention of other people.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to bring it down into a smaller level. I take it up big, then I bring it down. So right now what I'm thinking is, with your company, CCI, you do presentations to people or corporations, or you also work with the government helping to do some training with special ops and intelligence officers. So what information do you think we need to give to our listeners with regards to their personal awareness and safety in this uncertain world? Because, you know, that's one thing that has really come to the fore really since 9/11. When people are willing to give their lives in order to accomplish an act of terrorism, then how can you prevent it? It's going to be very difficult, because if somebody's willing to get caught or get killed or die, they, you know, then it's really hard to stop them from doing something. But we, as everyday people, what should we be doing to protect ourselves as best as possible?
Well, you hit upon some of the key points there. These people are willing to die. They may even embrace the idea of dying. So you've got someone who is fully committed, and you're not going to negotiate with that person. You're not going to convince or influence that person. That person is planning to kill you and planning to die themselves. So you have to understand that right up front. That is what you're dealing with. You can't go up and give them a hug. You can't be nice to them. You can't give them a flower. You can't hand them a sandwich and expect they're going to change their mind. So you're dealing with someone who is extremely dangerous, more than likely, given the opportunity, they're going to kill you, so you have to be prepared to protect and defend yourself. I'm preparing right now to give a couple seminars, and these seminars are targeting women in particular, and then moving on from there to the corporations and to the kids. And the idea is to teach awareness to people so that, number one, you won't become a victim, and if you do get into a situation that gets dicey, you have options and understanding of yourself and in your environment so that you can get out of that situation. And the idea is when it comes down to it, you have to get off the X, meaning get off the point of danger, and if you have to fight, you fight to win. And that is what we are moving into now. We need the man and the woman next door, the grandmas and grandpas, to be prepared to fight and protect themselves, because there's an unfortunate reality that we live in, and I'll finish up this point with this. It is unfortunately true that the police won't be there when you need them, because there simply aren't enough, and not enough is known about the potential and who the bad guys are. So you have to be prepared to defend, protect yourself, and you have to be prepared to go the distance.
Excellent, excellent. Well, again, former LAPD officer, former CIA officer, current security specialist, Henderson Cooper. Coop, thank you so much for joining us and helping us celebrate the release of Suicide Squad and enlightening us about the real-life aspects of this type of situation. Coop, how can our listeners find you?
I am at yoursituationalawareness.com. You have to put a couple of dots in there, your.situational.awareness101.com. And that is my my website. That is the name of the book that's getting ready to come out. It's being held hostage by my editors. And that is the way you can find me on the net.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Coop, thank you so much, and have a great rest of your weekend.
And you too. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us, Coop.
And enjoy the movie, too.
All right, I will.
Thanks.
All right, well, let's take a break again. Bohemian Rhapsody. Here we're going to end the Bohemian Rhapsody. Panic at the Disco. From Suicide Squad, you need the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is a 5-star soundtrack to me.
And the big shout-out to Henderson Cooper. I thought he was terrific. He made a lot of sense.
Yes, he did.
I really enjoyed his interview.
And after the break, we're going to have on Sophie Dossie from America's Got Talent.
But right now, it's Breakthrough Entertainment, 1480 AM, KPHX. We'll be right back.